The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Back in your Bible, if you will, to the book of Daniel. Let's look at that one verse again as our text verse, and that is Daniel chapter 3 and verse 17. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 17. The Bible says, "And if it be so, our God," listen to what it says, "whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thy hand, O king." Again, this is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is the time, of course, of them being cast into the burning fiery furnace. If you remember the story, the Bible says that they heated it up seven times, and so it was heated seven times hotter than it was normal. There were some men that were robust men that was chosen out of the army of Nebuchadnezzar, and of course they came over. They took the men, the young men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, cast them into the fiery furnace. The furnace was so hot that it burned the men that had cast them in. The Bible says that they were bound, and so they had ropes or cords around them. Then when they're cast into the furnace, it was a while after that, Nebuchadnezzar comes back. Those that were with him, according to the Bible, were princes. They were presidents. They were men of the magistrate. They were men of great honor, men of great integrity and authority. Come from all over the land. He comes back. He looks in to that which is the burning fiery furnace. And the Bible says that he saw not one, two, or three, but he saw four men walking loose. The Bible says that the fourth man likened unto the Son of God. All right, and so we understand this, that when you go through the fires in your life, sometimes we'll look at it, they do get heated. Bible does say that there was a time in this time of being in the burning fiery furnace that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did fall down. They did fall down. So there was a time while they were in the furnace, the fire, the heat of the moment, that they fell down. But the Bible does teach that a just man will riseth up again. You'll see the same happen to them. They rose up again. And the Bible says, as that which was being a witness to what took place, the king looked in and he saw the fourth. That means this: you don't have to ever worry about walking through the fires of your life by yourself. He'll always be there for you. He is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I said he is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The Bible says he'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I want us to notice some things about how God is able. You say, why are you preaching something like this? It's Christmas time. Again, during the Christmas season, there's some people that just don't look at it the way we do. When I look at Christmas, I think of bright things. I think of course, glowing things. I think of happiness. I think of joy. I think of all the experiences of times gone by. And I just be honest with you, it might be the way that God built me, but I always seem to have a tendency to look on the positive and not the negative. Now, especially during Christmas time, and I love the season. I love to hear the songs. I love to be able to notice the Christmas trees, the lights, people exchanging gifts, the smiles on the faces, the children that are bright. I just love the season. But notice now, there's some people that might have a difficult time with it. And so we're going to talk about how God is able. Let me give you some statements, if I could. Statement number one, God is able to hear our prayers. God is able to hear our prayers. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 59 in verse 1, the Bible says, "The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear." All right, so God is able to hear our prayers. And by the way, when should you pray prayers? All the time. All the time. You know, we wait until things get bad, but you ought not wait till things get bad. He ought to be so close to you that you can call upon him at any time and feel like you can do that. All right? So here's what we do. We wait and we say, well, I tell you what, I think I can handle it now. I think I can handle it now. I think I can handle it now. Then we get to a point and we say, I can't handle it now. God, please help. Now, it ought not be that way. We ought to be able to come to God and ask God at any awakening moment in our life, and God can help us. Psalm 4 and in verse 3, the Bible says, the Lord will hear when I call unto him. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 24, the Bible says, the Lord speaking, he says, I will hear. I will hear. By the way, if that's the only verse in the Bible that I'll encourage you to pray, when he simply says, I will hear. Over in Jeremiah chapter 33, most of you have claimed this verse from one time or another. If you're a prayer warrior, in verse 3, where it says, call upon me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Many times we're driven to our knees in prayer, like Abraham Lincoln said. He said, there was a day in my life when I had nowhere else to go but to my knees in prayer. You know, sometimes God will have a part in driving us to our knees so that we can look upward. Sometimes a man has to be knocked on his back before he can see heaven, all right? And so we understand that there ought to be times when we pray. By the way, the Egyptian magicians, if you would please, they tried all sorts of things. I mean, they tried to call upon their God, no relief. But if you remember Moses, when he called upon his God, there was an answer. You remember, if you would, the prophets of Baal. Boy, they screamed, they shouted, they cut themselves, they chanted, they danced around. They were trying, if you would please, to be able to make things happen on Mount Carmel. But then you'll see that there was a man only prayed 64 words. His name was Elijah, and God answered his prayer. You'll see that there was those that worked on the ship, and they were calling out, and they even asked Jonah as he was on the ship to pray about the raging storm. By the way, they prayed, no answer came. Jonah prayed, an answer came. When the believers pray, something changes. By the way, I said when the believers pray. We have to come to a point, a place in our understanding in our life that we need to pray. When those that were following that which was Dagon in the Bible, they had no prayers that was answered. There's those that call upon Jupiter and all sorts of other planets, and they pray to the planets, but they are not heard. There's no answer. When the Egyptians prayed to their God, no one heard. When that which was the Philistines prayed to their gods, no one heard. When the Babylonians prayed to their gods, no one heard. When the Amalekites prayed to their gods, no one heard. When they prayed to the god of Diana, no one heard. When they prayed, if you would please, the priest of Baal, and they prayed, no one heard. May I help you a little bit? When the Buddhist prays to Buddha, no one hears. When the Muslims pray to Allah, no one hears. When some people that are good people but just misunderstand a little bit, and the Catholics pray to Mary, the mother of God, so they say, no one hears. When the tribal priests pray to that which is the sun god, the moon god, the god of the Nile, no one hears. But when the child of God gets on his knees and the child of God calls upon the God of heaven, I'm telling you, there's a God of heaven that hears your prayers and that can answer your prayers. All right. So I'm saying that we have a God that answers prayers. You don't need to be afraid to pray. You don't need to be afraid to ask him. You don't need to be afraid if he will not hear you. He does hear you, and he does want to answer prayer, but you have to come to him and ask him and pray and allow him to answer prayers in your life. Statement number one, we see this, that God is able to hear our prayers. Statement number two, God is able to help our problems. Now, aren't you glad that we have a God that cares enough about your individual problems? Some of you have small problems. Some of you have mediocre problems. Some of you have some big old problems. Can I tell you that there's not a problem that's big enough that God himself cannot handle? There's not one. There's not one problem that God cannot come through and answer and help you with that problem. Now, I know how it is. I'm an American. We are used to taking care of problems ourselves. We are. America is used to going to battle and winning the battles for other countries that are not as strong as we are. We're used to being victorious. We're not used to losing. We're not used to coming in second. By the way, may I tell you, America is still number one. But because of that, if we're not careful, we become proud of that.
Yes, sir.
You said, but we have problems in America, not like other countries. Amen. We still have more freedom in America than any other country under heaven.
Amen.
Now, I think our freedoms are being taken away. I think our government is playing a role in that right now as they try to pass a socialistic program.
Yes, sir.
But I'm here to tell you this morning that you ought to thank God for the place that you are and understand, no matter what problems you have, that you have a God that can help you with the problem. You see, when Moses stood before Pharaoh, he also understood that God was able. When it was the children of Israel that stood facing the Red Sea, with the Egyptians closing close behind, they also understood that God was able. When Joshua stood before Jericho, seemingly against an impossible victory, he also understood that God was able. When Elijah stood on the Mount Carmel, he understood that God was able. When old Gideon had to get rid of most of that which was his army, and he stood against that which was the Midianites, he understood that God was able. It's not how many you have, it is how many are surrendered to God. One person with God is a majority. We stand today and we say, well, I don't understand. I don't think I can make it by myself. Oh, but you're not supposed to be by yourself. You're supposed to let God work in your life. David stood before that which was the giant, and yet he was victorious over the giant as the giant fell. Why? Because God is able. Daniel stood in the lion's den because he had an able God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through the fire, but as they went through the fire, they understood that he's an able God. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 17, the Bible says, listen to it now, and if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. There was those that went down, if you will, to the land, to spy out the land. There was those that looked at the land and said, we can't do it. There was two that said, oh, but we can do it. And God is able to help us to be able to do it. Now, may I say that it all depends on your faith in your God. It really does. You talk to people day after day, and some people say, well, God cannot, because they've never seen God do. Then you see other people that will take, and they will be individuals that believe that God can because they see God do all the time. Now, what's the difference? Sometimes it's because of child rearing. They see a mom and dad, they kneel and they pray and they think, well, you know, mom and dad had a problem and I saw them pray and it got better. So sometimes the way that we rear our children will have an influence on the way that they treat their God. Sometimes it's because God brings somebody inspirational or motivational that is a prayer warrior inside of your life, and they walk beside you and they're always talking about how God answered prayer in their life. Sometimes it's because of that. Now, I want you to listen to me now as we understand that God is able to help with our problems. So in financial problems, God is able. And that which is a physical problem, God is able. In a family problem, God is able. In a job problem, God is able. In an emotional problem, or a friendship problem, or a school problem, or a marital problem, or an addiction problem, or an economical setback, or that which is a discipline problem, or a medical problem, or a mechanical problem, or a stress problem, doesn't matter what it is, God is still able. He is an able God. And if we understand, and by the way, some of you men, and I hear the woman, I like to hear the men. Oh, never be a woman outshout you. By the way, the Bible teaches that women are supposed to be silent in the church. But sure help for a man to say amen. Now, here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that there is circumstances that have come your way. There's situations that have come your way. There is obstacles that will come your way. There's difficulties that will come your way. There is burdens that will come your way. But God is an able God. Now, I'm telling you that you can go to God and God can help you, but you have to put your faith and trust in a God that can come through and that can answer your prayer. And can I hear a man say amen? I'm saying that there's problems, but you're all going to have problems. Problems are going to come. You cannot prevent the problem. There's going to be a day when your kid gets a high fever. There's going to be a day when you get in a car wreck and for once in your life it's not your fault. There's going to be a day when you have a cantankerous neighbor or you marry into a family and you have a cantankerous mother-in-law. Now, I'm telling you, when problems like that come, you understand. Look, God can put a smile on your face because he's able. God can put a song in your heart because he's able. God can quiet your worries. God can stop the despair. God can quit the whimpering. God can stop the tossing to and fro. God can take and retract that which is your temptations. And you don't have to throw in the towel simply because God is the God of the Bible. He did help the Israelites to cross the Red Sea. He did help Elijah at Mount Carmel. He did provide 300 warriors to be able to follow Gideon into battle and gave the victory. He did help David as he overtook Goliath. He did spare Daniel in the lion's den. He did show up in the midst of the fire for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And God has not changed. And he's as much alive today. And he can help you today just as much as he helped you yesterday, simply because he's a God of your problems. So God can help you. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 28, the Bible says, "Blessed be God of the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, for he have sent an angel and delivered his servants." It says, that trusted him. That's the problem. That trusted him. We go about our everyday life and we don't need to trust him. May I say that when we do trust him, it changes the way that people look at our God. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 29, there is no other God. This is the testimony. What an attribute to that which is the very characteristics of God himself. The Bible says there is no other God, it says, that can deliver after this sort. Somebody was watching. Somebody was paying close attention. Somebody was awake. Now, I'm saying that it's important this morning that we understand that God is able to hear prayer. God is able to help with the problem. Statement number 3, God is able to heal his people. Oh, you say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Okay, I've seen people that have emotional hang-ups. I've seen people that is their own fingernail clippers. And they will bite their fingernails down to that which is the quill. I've seen that. I've talked to people, you won't believe this, but I have talked to people and they're nervous. I don't think they're nervous because they show up in my office. I think that's just the natural way they are. But I've talked to people and they'll begin to... I've talked to people and they can't stand still. I mean, they got something, might be answered, but they got something. They can't stand still. Now, may I say that there's a God that can help. Here's what it says, Psalm 103 and in verse 3. The Bible says, who forgiveth all of thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Luke chapter 6 and verse 19, the Bible says he healeth all them. James chapter 5 and verse 13, how does this take place? Well, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, if any among you are afflicted, he says, let him pray. And it says, is any merry, let him sing psalms. It says, if any sick be among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And it says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. But it says this, confess your faults rather. Confess your faults one to another and pray one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So is it wrong to get people to pray for you when you get sick? Is it wrong to get people... Now don't do this. Don't use prayer as a vessel to spread gossip. You know, you get on the phone and, hey, we need to pray for brother so-and-so because have you heard what he is going through? Let me tell you. Hey, we need to pray for sister so-and-so. Have you heard what she is going through? Oh, let me tell you. So don't use the channel or the avenue of saying you're going to pray for somebody in pretense to gossip. Well, my husband came home last night, and let me tell you, we really need to pray. Will you join me in prayer for my husband? Because after all, let me tell you what he did. Okay? But I'm saying that this is true when it comes to God answering prayer, and God can still answer prayer. Let me give you another one. God is able to humble the pride. That proud person, God is able to humble our pride. He is. He is. A person is high and lifted up because they think, come on. Have you seen people that's always taking pictures of themselves? You know, have you, seriously. Now, I understand Christmas time and you take family pictures, but I'm talking about every day. You know, they take pictures of themselves and then they send it to someone else like, okay, hey, one more way to get rid of the rodents. But let's not be somebody that is stuck on ourselves. I tell people all the time that we're not worth spit. Hello. Come on, neighbor, are you ready? If you got what you deserved today, you'd be burning in hell. If I got what I deserve today, I'd be burning in hell. Thank God for his grace. Now, because of his grace, we understand that God is able. God is able to do several things. God is able to hear our prayers. God is able to help us with problems. God is able, if you will, to be able to heal people. And God is able to humble the pride. The proud person. He gives us humility over pride if we'll let him. The Bible says, Daniel chapter 4 and verse 37, the Bible says, now Nebuchadnezzar, it says, praise and exalt, it says, the honor of the King of heaven, it says, and all those works of truth, and all his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride is able to abase. Nebuchadnezzar understood that God could bring somebody down low. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 37, the Bible says, the latter portion of that verse I read a moment ago, those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. So God will look on somebody that is full of pride, and he is able to bring them low. One day a young preacher got up to preach. He was very proud. I mean, boy, you know, he got up with a great degree of about me. He walked to the pulpit and he opened up the Bible and he couldn't find his sermon. His papers was all messed up and he couldn't find, once he found the sermon, where to start, where to end, where the middle was. He became highly embarrassed. He ran down, I mean face bloodshed red, ran down from the pulpit, ran out through the lobby, wound up in front of the church. Two older women met him outside. Said, son, if you would have went up into that pulpit like you came down out of that pulpit, you could have came down out of that pulpit like you went up into that pulpit. What they were trying to say in their unusual fashion of words was if you would have simply went up there humble, you could have came down and had something proud to speak of. But because you went up there full of pride, you came down in humility with nothing to speak of. And isn't it true? We live in a day where it's all about man. It's all about man. Can I tell you, we need to live in a day when it's all about Christ. Man says, well, I got offended, I got hurt. Man says, I deserve. Man says, it's my right. Man says, it's about me. Man says, let me sign your Bible because of who I am. And may I say, it's not about man. Boy, I hope as long as I'm pastor at Parkside Baptist Church, I hope that all of us understand that it's Christ. It's Christ. You know, any man can be a voice. Is that right? The Bible says that John the Baptist was a voice crying in the wilderness. John the Baptist wasn't exactly somebody that was what I would consider a model Christian in his dress and the way that he had different characteristics. He ate locusts and wild honey, dressed in camel's hair. You could smell him before you saw him. But yet he was used of God. Hello? I was around a preacher the other day, and I don't know what he ate, but it sure did smell bad. We were fellowshipping, and it smelled like that he ate a bunch of garlic, but it was the non-scented type. You know, and he was speaking, and as he was speaking, I felt like I had to get a burden and start to weep because it was burning my eyes, and it was coming out of his mouth, and it was burning my eyes. So I had to back off just a little bit. We talked, and every time I'd back off, he'd get closer to me. For you know, and I'm backing off, and he said, "Preacher, is there something wrong?" Well, I didn't want to say, "Yes, sir. Something's really bad wrong here." But did you know, we understand this. We understand that there is that humbling time. Come on. There's that humbling time. I'm telling you that God would give you many humbling times in your life to be able to bring you to a point and to a place where you'll actually put your trust totally in Him. The Bible talks about there's the proud mouth, the proud look, the proud spirit, the proud heart. The Bible talks about how when we humble ourselves, therefore the Bible says, under the mighty hand of God, He will exalt you in due time. In due time. But sometimes it takes the due time for Him to exalt you. And you have to understand that the due time is not in your time. The Bible says, as a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I was raised the first couple years of my life, as many of you know my story, on a 280-acre farm. 280 acres is a lot of acreage. We covered that farm. We were farmers. We covered that farm in corn, wheat, hay. There was a portion of it they raised barley. We covered it in all sorts of different types of crop. And then we had this huge one-acre garden. 1 acre is a pretty big garden. We have to go out there and work that garden. As a young man, I was on weed patrol. That was my duty, weed patrol. Sounds like it's a big job. And for a five-year-old, it was. But I was on weed patrol. What was I supposed to do? I was supposed to, and by the way, my grandfather taught it to me like it was a game. We went out there and he pointed out the weeds and he showed me the difference between the weed and the vegetable that was growing. And he put it in my head this way. You see that weed? That weed is your enemy. You have one job. Pull the weed. Destroy the weed. Get the weed. So I'd put on my helmet, military helmet. I'd get in my camos. I'd have my camo boots on that they bought me. And I'd go out on weed patrol. I am protecting the family. And I was on weed patrol. Now, wait a minute. Did you know, I didn't know that he was doing that to get me the work. I didn't know that I was pulling all the weeds in the garden, and so he didn't have to. But there's a way that God used that in my life to understand some things when it comes to just doing what your grandpa said, regardless of how you felt about it. After a while, you catch on. This is not fun anymore. The enemy, the weeds, is winning. But you just kept doing it because there was a love for that one that asked you to do it. Now, I'm saying God is able. And some of the things that God asks us to do is not pleasurable. Brother Bulkley just arrived back from India just yesterday. And as he arrived back from India yesterday, you know, Brother Bulkley is so very kind to me. And many times he'll take and he'll text me a prayer. And he'll text me a prayer. It said, and it'll say like, "Dear Lord, please bless my preacher today. Give him strength, give him wisdom, give him clarity." And he'll text the prayer to me that he prayed for me that particular morning. Well, he did that this morning. And then he shot me a picture of one of the leopards that received Christ in the leper colony. And here was a man that was sitting down there dressed like a Turkish man. And he was sitting there on the ground and he's smiling. Are you listening to me? Brother Bulkley said, when I was preaching the gospel, he said all he did was just sit there and listen and cry. Because he was hearing the clarity of the gospel. Then he bowed his heart and he received Christ as Savior and the smile came. Hello? But did you know how many people live under bridges in Dallas? Do you know how many people live in apartment complexes that nobody cares about? I am so excited. I got to tell it. I told it in Sunday school, but bear with me. This is your second time to hear it if you were in my Sunday school class. But Nathaniel and Natalie went home to be with the Lord, burned in a tragic fire. And one of the moms, I guess, of one of the children that was in the apartment complex came to the funeral and knew that they were having a Christmas party and kind of put it in the head of the owner that let's do this in honor of Natalie and in honor of Nathaniel. And so she said, if we're going to do that, why don't we get the pastor to come and say a word? You have some type of service, something for closure for the people. Say a word. Well, you know, I like saying a word. And so they invited me to come, and we took several people down with us. Other people met us there I didn't know was coming. And we had a good number of people from Parkside Baptist Church that showed up. And I asked Brother Nash, to go down and sing. They wanted the same song that was sung at the funeral service that I preached, the memorial service. And so he went down, and he sang that song. And so he sang the song. It got kind of quiet, and I was able to preach the gospel. And there was about, 15, 20 people that prayed audibly, out loud, unashamedly to ask Jesus Christ to be their Savior. I was talking to Mark after the service, and he's the owner. He moved here from San Diego, and he bought, I think, 126 units to be able to serve people and stuff like that. And I was talking to him, and we were talking about how neat this is and about coming back next year. And he said, I used to raise money in San Diego to be able to do it. I thought, you know how many apartments are in this area? You know how neat it would be to be able to get in every apartment complex that's in the area? And by the way, we have the people that can do it. We have the people that could go and be able to get in and be able to give out some of those things and give out some food and open up that door and be able to preach that gospel. And I'm telling you that hundreds, yea, thousands of people could come to know Christ as Savior. Well, what is that? That's just understanding that we have a God and God is able. That's what it's talking about. You know, God can work through you. God can use you. He said, "But preacher, I don't know much, but what are you doing with what you know?" God could take your little bit of kindness and use it. "But preacher, you don't understand, I can't be a Sunday school teacher," but you can be kind. "But preacher, you don't understand, I can't go out and preach the gospel like you," but you can give out a piece of paper, it's called a tract. You know, God can use every single one of you to do more probably than what you're presently doing. But you know what it takes? It takes getting a burden and being stretched a little bit. We're getting ready to leave the apartment building. And I know people are busy and they probably just didn't have time to do it. But all of the clothes clothes of the children and some other things, I guess they just kind of threw out. To get it out of, so it wouldn't mildew or whatever, but throw it outside the apartment. and it was laying down there on the ground. I don't know who had the idea, but one of the ones that was with us said, hey, let's go pick that up. And so we went over there, and we were picking up all the wet, soggy clothes that's been laying out there for a couple of days or whatever weeks. And so we picked that up, Mrs. Magnan had Brother Magnus' truck there, and so she backed that thing up, and we threw it in the back of that truck. And then she drove it down, and Brother Cavanaugh and I got up in the back of that truck and started taking those old clothes that was all wet and mildewed and smelly and throwed them into the garbage bin. And you say, well, preacher, stuff like that is not important. No, helping people, and if that's a part of helping people, that is important. And it doesn't matter how nasty something is. It doesn't matter how bad something is. You know, we live in such, and I'm done, but we live in such a society where we don't want to get our hands dirty, and we don't want, you know, but you know that, you know, preacher, if I touch it, I may die. You're going to die anyway. Now, I was telling Brother Nash, we were driving along, and I said, you know, because I didn't have gloves to begin with, and so I'm picking all this stuff up and throwing it, and then somebody gave me a glove, and so I started using the glove, but I mean, this hand was just full of, junk, and so I said, man, this hand feels a whole lot heavier than this hand here. But you know what I found out? It washed. I was able to wash it. Then all of a sudden, I felt lighter. Hello. You'll be amazed at how God can take and bring things in your life that's humbling. All right, I'll tell this. I'll quit. My wife and I both had been looking at an elliptical machine. Is that what it's called? You know what? Has the wheel. Yeah, that's it. And you step on it, you know, and you're going nowhere. But you're losing everything here as you go nowhere. Right. Yeah. So, you know, she'd mentioned a couple times she wanted that. So I thought I'd surprise her. You know, my daughter babysits almost every Friday now, and babysits all day long. And so I knew they had to take the child back to the house, and they were going to leave about 9 o'clock, take the child home. And so my two boys was at home, that still live with us. And so Joshua was there and Jared was there. And I had this idea that we can put this thing together. I said this Sunday, put together in 45 minutes. 2 hours, 2 hours and a half later, we finally got it together. Now, it wasn't because we're really slow people. It was just a really complex machine. But you know, when you do stuff like that, it's even humbling. Yes, it is. You know, God can bring many, many, many things in your life. Many things in your life. I was on an airplane one day, and it was Southwest. And Southwest, basically, you get on, you find your own seat, and you sit down. I've never been on an airplane like that before. But the first time I ever rode Southwest was when I came to Dallas. And I didn't know what I was doing, so I got on. Airplane's filling up. This guy gets on the plane, and I mean, he is nasty from head to toe. I mean, it looks like, you know, he hadn't taken a shower probably ever. You know, and he's walking down, and I'm thinking, now, I'm the same way you are. Don't get ahead of me. I'm the same way you are. And I'm thinking, wonder where he's going to sit. He's getting closer to me, and I'm thinking, nah. Then he looked at me and he said, is this seat taken? And I said, yes, it is. No, I did not. I said, no, it's not taken. Have a seat. Glad you can sit here. So he sat down beside me. Man, I started to witness to this guy. Found out, lost his wife about 20 years ago, never got over it. Never got over it. He was a businessman that lived here. He just gave up on life. Are you listening to me? Started working on the street, gave up on life, living under bridges. A relative, a daughter or son or something, was flying him up for a special time with them. I was able to share the gospel with him. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? He bowed his heart, received Christ. Now, by the way, that doesn't always happen. Can I tell you that for sure? That doesn't always happen. We tell about the ones that happen because it happened. But he bowed his heart, received Christ as Savior. And we had a good talk. Now, can I tell you, I had to overlook some things. I did. I had to overlook some. Did I want him to sit beside me? No. No. Matter of fact, he's coming down the aisle, and I'm saying, dear Lord, no. No, not today. Not today. You know, and he's getting closer, and then he looks at me, and he smiles, you know, yellow, no teeth, rotten, smiles, and he says, can I sit beside you? Sure. And then you, okay, God can use you. God can use you. And I believe God wants to. Father, help us, we pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.